We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, so they got a receiver. Is OBJ still a possibility?
Oh, yes!
Oh, all right.
And that's the most important thing, I think, about this conversation is the fact that just because you see this wide receiver room continuing to shift does not mean that they are done work. We should very much consider Odell Beckham Jr. still on the table as an option for the New York Jets. In fact, we can go even further to say that both sides would still like to see this done. Financials still in the way of actually finalizing this thing, but I still think that Odell Beckham Jr. will wind up with the New York Jets.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Hey, Tim.
So that was Jeff Darlington on Get Up, I believe, earlier today, discussing the likelihood of Odell Beckham going to the Jets, which ties into, of course, Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. Meanwhile, it sounds like DeAndre Hopkins is still in play here in New England, but also might be going to the Buffalo Bills, according to his social media.
Oh, yes!
Oh, not so great, not as good.
Yeah.
So where's everything going right now in the division? It's something we've been talking about a lot over the last few weeks here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. But we've been talking about the odds for the division. They haven't been favorable to the Patriots, and they might be dropping. Because you have to assume all the maneuvering with the Jets, Mego, is what Rodgers wants, right? Rodgers probably wants OBJ. Rodgers probably wanted Mecole Hardman, who signed yesterday. The Jets may need these draft picks. They only moved up from 70-whatever to 42, the third round of the second round. But they probably need this draft pick just to get Aaron Rodgers in the first place. It's an extra piece of draft capital. So all of the Jets' maneuverings are for Rodgers. And I think they're better. I think that Beckham and Hardman, as much as I like Elijah Moore and thought he was a good piece, when you add him to Lazard and you add him to Garrett Wilson, all of a sudden it's like, wow, well, they have a lot of weapons in that room, even more than I thought they were going to have for Aaron Rodgers. Imagine Hopkins as the number two in Buffalo and Gabe Wilson as the three, Gabe Davis, rather, as the three. Like, Gabriel Davis did not have the breakout year that a lot of us assumed he would coming off his playoff game against the Chiefs. You know, he'd have blow-up spots where he'd go three catches for four touchdowns, if that's even mathematically possible. It's not. But that he's that kind of player.
Wow.
And on top of it, it was very impressive.
It's like Neo.
And on top of it, he'd have weeks where he just laid a goose egg. I actually heard Fitzy and Keefe talking about this the other night, and they nailed it. It's like he was such a boom or bust player. If you had Hopkins, that's as consistent as it gets with Steph Diggs. All of a sudden, it's like Buffalo's even better. Even better. They added Damian Harris. That's a small add for them. It's like they're even better. And we're sitting here doing cartwheels for Juju Smith-Schuster and Mike Gesicki. What are we talking about? Like, it's back to trending badly, I guess, is my point, Mego. I don't even love what the Patriots have done to this point. The Jets are about to get Rodgers. Maybe they're getting Beckham, and the Bills might be adding DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, yeah, and the Dolphins already added Jalen Ramsey. Like, how are you supposed to compete with that? You can't compete with that with these little middling moves they're making.
So I'm trying to keep up here. Yes. With the Jets, because there was just a lot there.
Yeah, there was.
With the Jets in particular, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to change everything. That's going to be the biggest thing. You know, they brought in Lazard. That's for Aaron Rodgers. I agree with you. I assume every every decision that they're making on the offensive side of the ball is for Aaron Rodgers' benefit, what he wants, even though he says that there's not a list of demands. But OBJ to the Jets, like, I don't look at that and go that that's a complete, like, game changer for them. It's more just, okay, that must be something that Rodgers wants. Like, I don't actually look at that particular player and go, oh my God, now look at that. Like, it's not like Steph Diggs to Buffalo.
Didn't he also want, like, Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb, all these other guys? Yep.
So
wasn't there, like, a whole list of players?
Not a very good GM.
Well, maybe, but doesn't Beckham with Rodgers scare you more than Beckham with, like, I don't know, the quarterbacks he's been playing with? Like, he was good in L.A.
With Stafford, yeah.
He was good in L.A.
Yeah.
But that was also 2 years in an injury.
Exactly.
I think he's more likely to hit with a quarterback like Rodgers.
And then with Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo's already a really scary team. Like, you already can't hang with them. And you've gotten, as the Patriots, like, speaking towards the Patriots, they've only gotten slightly better overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Bill O'Brien's going to change the whole offense, so that's going to be maybe dramatically better from last year. But I'm really talking about your team from 2021, a competent offense. You're slightly better than that team. So you're still behind. I mean, to me, it's almost like, okay, OBJ is not, you know, a crazy addition, and Buffalo is already way ahead of you. So to me, this actually doesn't change very much about where your standings are at all.
That's fair. I mean, you already assume Rodgers is going to the Jets. You already assume the Bills are better, so this doesn't change your view a lot. You already thought they were screwed.
I'm not looking at it going, oh my God, they got OBJ?
Well,
unstoppable.
Well, if he's their second or third receiver, I really like...
I'm going to feel that way when Aaron Rodgers officially signs
But that's totally fair. Because, like, you're right. I already thought they were screwed. I personally think they're even more screwed, but you're right. How much does that really change at the end of the day? Arkin, how do you feel about these moves, these machinations in the AFC East?
As far as the Jets are concerned, I'm not really jealous of them getting Odell Beckham because I think Schuster's better than him. The problem is the Patriots don't have a Garrett Wilson. I mean, that's the main thing. They don't have the Garrett Wilson. They don't have the Steph Diggs. They don't have the Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, or even to a lesser extent, maybe, I don't even know if they have a Gabe Davis. So, like, that's the problem. That's not so much that these other teams are picking up these other wide receivers, because I don't care if the Patriots get Beckham or not. I don't really think that's going to make a difference. He doesn't, at this point in his career, doesn't really, I think, differentiate from Kendrick Bourne that much.
Would Beckham be their best receiver?
No.
He might be.
I don't think he's better than Schuster.
He might be.
Oh, if he went to the Patriots?
I'm sorry. Did I ask that poorly?
Yeah,
yes. I meant to the Patriots.
Because
I'm
right
sorry.
Now you have him with, like, three different teams.
Yep.
So.
No, I'm bouncing around a lot.
Okay, so if he was with the Patriots, no. I don't think he's the best receiver with the Patriots.
It's Schuster right now.
Well, yeah. I'm saying if Beckham's in that room, is it still Schuster?
I'm saying even if Beckham's there, yeah. It's still Schuster, I think.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I mean, Gesicki, I can't even, like, say his name. So I'm waiting to see what he is as a pass catcher, because everyone says, well, he doesn't even block. He's essentially just another big wide receiver, not a true tight end. And I'm like, I don't care.
I don't care either.
Can he make a play?
I don't care about blocking tight ends either. Like, can he catch?
Okay. Oh, he doesn't even light
right.
up.
Like, oh. I don't think Gesicki's not that, I don't think he's that great, but I could care
so
less if he can
with
block.
Gesicki.
It changes.
Gesicki?
From day to day, Gesicki? It changes.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. I like that.
Big Mikey G.
By the way, Schuster last year was better than Beckham's Rams year. So, I mean, like, that's, I don't know. I mean, I think Schuster's clearly better.
Sure. Schuster's had injury issues as well.
Yeah.
So, if you're worried about Beckham being healthy, I think you should worry about that with Juju as well. I like Juju. I do think Beckham has a way higher ceiling. So, higher ceiling players tend to be better in my estimation. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the movement in the AFC East? I want to get to Hopkins specifically, but let's knock out some phone calls. Lottie waiting patiently here, including Al and Everett. Go ahead, Al.
How are you guys?
Hi.
So, I've been waiting since your first show together, guys, to make this call. And can I just say what a breath of fresh air.
We are.
All three of you guys in there are absolutely tremendous.
Yes. What have you been waiting for, Al? Why have you waited so long, if that's what you were going to say?
Well, okay, I'll tell you. Because the first show, and I'll never forget it, you guys were on a subject that I've been talking about for 20 years on this station. 20 years I've been telling people how overrated
he's right about this.
That this guy is, Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Was getting laughed at,
mm-hmm.
Okay? 3 years ago, I told everyone on this time slot, when the other guys were there, that this was going to happen. I never thought I'd see the day that he'd be dumb enough to coach without Tom Brady at the end of his career. But he did it. The biggest blunder in the history of sports since Babe Ruth. And
moving on from Brady.
I'm sorry?
Well, no. Mego just made a face here. So.
Oh, I wanted to ask Al something.
Oh,
I think he goes all the way back to like 5:90 a.m.
I'm
right?
sorry.
He's one of the, like, original Belichick haters.
I let him go, but
Thank
I'm sure...
You.
I'm sure with how big of a fan he is of this program. I mean, we are a breath of fresh air. I mean, I do agree with that.
Thank you.
With how much of a breath of a fresh air we are, I'm sure that he'll be calling back in shortly.
Hopefully.
Or in the future, I mean. But when it comes to the biggest blunder since Babe Ruth.
I mean, was making a face because Ryan knows this about me. Because
you thought he watched Babe Ruth.
No, I don't like Babe Ruth talk on sports talk radio at this point.
Why is that?
Because come on!
What do you mean?
Babe Ruth!
Yes.
Stop.
Stop what? What are
you missed your I love Joe DiMaggio's record over there. That's why.
You can't even mention him?
We can't it's mention Babe the big...
Ruth.
Well, I...
Okay, you know what? You mentioned Babe Ruth. You'll see the phone lines light up, and you'll get what you asked for.
The biggest blunder since Babe Ruth, I think, is... I don't think that should be out of bounds. It's one of the biggest mistakes in the history of sports. We shouldn't be allowed to compare
Why
Brady
do you
to
hate
that.
Babe Ruth?
I don't hate Babe Ruth.
You obviously hate Babe Ruth.
I don't like talking about Babe Ruth in the year 2023.
That's fine.
Long before the first robin of spring appears, along comes Ruth in his annual battle with his waistline.
Arkham, we...
Almost 40 and kind of fat.
Arkham, we talked to my guy Ottavino a few years ago. Ottavino basically said if Babe Ruth played now, he'd strike him out.
Yeah,
he would absolutely strike
him. Yeah, I didn't disagree with him at the time.
Babe still has a lot of baseball in him, according to trainer Artie McGovern.
But Pedro Martinez said he would dig up his corpse.
Yes.
And drill him with a fastball. He did say that.
Yeah, he was way ahead of Tom Curran with all that corpse talk.
Really, yeah.
And we're going to talk to Tom
Curran. Wild thing to say.
About 20 minutes from now, as he joins us each and every
Almost
week.
Almost 40 and kind of fat.
He joins us each and every week at 3:30 here on Jones and Mego with Arkan. Look, I was always Brady over Belichick, but I was like, they were close. I used to think they were close. So Al was very right about this, apparently. I used to think it was close. Now it's a bloodbath, I mean, is what it is. Let's go to Ben in the car. Go ahead, Ben.
What's happening, guys? So it's a little further back, but it's a little hot take on Destin the 40. I think what we're experiencing here is we're so used to hearing him talk while he was the captain of the Patriots. And you have super-duper Patriot making all these appearances, being the great guy he is. And now, I'm not saying he's not a great guy anymore, but he's no longer the captain of the team. He's retired, so he's got a little more wiggle room to play around with his words a little bit.
Well, he does.
Same with like Julian Edelman and Teddy Bruschi and all these other guys
so this
who
is,
still kiss his ass.
This is why I find it noteworthy. Yeah. And again, like he just barely had his retirement ceremony. What did they call that thing the other day? Like 2 days ago. And it was announced like 2 weeks ago. So he's new to the media thing, but like the more you call them out, the more you're going to fall outside the circle. So like, does Devin McCourty want to do that? And that's what I find interesting about the media blitz he's done. It's like, if he's going to keep, I think, creating headaches for the team, creating headaches for Bill, he's letting the world know that Bill's kid had no idea what he was doing. Do you think Bill's happy about that?
No.
Do you think Bill's happy about that?
I'm trying to think.
No!
I don't
know. Of course not. Why on earth would he be happy about that? My kid didn't deserve the job and had no idea what he's doing.
Steve stuff.
No, like, no. Bill's not happy about that. I guarantee it.
It usually takes these guys a lot longer to ask Fourier about this. So, Fourier will say any guy that retires from the Patriots, it takes him a couple full seasons to be away from the organization to start talking like this. Devin's the outlier right now.
Why is Devin doing it? Maybe Bill's even lost Devin is what I'm wondering, because I'm stunned. I'm stunned that Devin McCourty is doing this. Stunned. Like, I thought he would be in the circle, Bill guy through and through. And maybe I've always had that wrong, Mego. But I am stunned he's doing this.
I don't recall James White telling any tales about what was going on.
I don't remember any Patriot doing this. I don't remember any. Who does this? Anybody come to mind? Maybe Rodney? Maybe?
Maybe Randy Moss a little bit when he first started. But he didn't come right from the Patriots.
I mean, I don't
like
think
he played on three other teams and then he became a media guy and he never really dropped bombs like that.
You know, honestly, and
I don't think any of them do it.
The messenger wasn't ideal, but the message came through. Rob Gronkowski doing the Fox analyst stuff, complaining nonstop about what Bill Belichick used to put them through in order to get ready for game days.
Yeah. There's a little of that. Yeah.
You got to be able to string together sentences.
I was losing that joy in life from playing football here in New England.
Yeah.
You got to rabble me homes.
Yeah. You got to be able to speak, though, for it to really land. Unfortunately, Devin can do that, unlike Gronk. Who does that? Maybe Brady will start.
Expect the Bengals to rattle Mahomes.
Maybe.
They're like, Bill, should we deal with this? He's like, no, that's fine. We let Rob go out there and say whatever he wants.
Maybe, yeah. No one can follow him anyway. the inane ramblings of Rob Gronkowski.
The ceiling is close.
Maybe Brady will start doing it, maybe. But I don't remember anybody doing this. So has Bill lost the team? Has he even lost Devin McCourty?
Yes, the ceiling is closed.
617-779-7937. We have our triple play coming your way at the end of the hour at 345. So mark that down. Triple 45, as we like to say. And also we have Tom E. Curran joining us about 15 minutes from now for his weekly scheduled spot here on Jones and Mego with Arkham. We'll get to that and your phone calls right after Trending with Christian.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI. On WEEI.
You know what? I am slowly but surely coming around on the notion of DeAndre Hopkins. It's more of a needle mover than it was for me as the price continues to drop. If you look, and I retweeted something today, if you prorate his numbers, he only played five games with Kyler Murray and one was one series. He basically would have had 121 catch, 1,600-yard season with like 12 touchdowns. Is he going to do that? Would he have done that over a full season? I don't know. But he would change things. And yeah. if it's not insane and you've afforded yourself this cap space, okay, get DeAndre Hopkins. But no on Lamar!
See, now why are you going to throw that in there at the end, Tom? No on Lamar, he says. You imagine Lamar and DeAndre Hopkins? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be such a watchable football team. They'd score so many points. I'd hate that, too. We'll talk to Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, as plugged in as anybody. When it comes to the Patriots, he joins us 6 minutes from now, as he does each and every Thursday at 3:30. Mark that one in your calendar for Jones and Mego with Arkham here on WEEI. What's it tell you that Curran's getting swayed a little bit there on Hopkins? You think that's a sign he knows a little something, or you think he did the numbers, and he's starting to convince himself?
I think he's starting to convince himself because just looking at the market now. I mean, when we ended the show yesterday, there was some information out there about how Hopkins' price is dropping, how it's not going to take a second rounder anymore, and this and that, at least the trade price, not the price for his actual contract. And so maybe that makes it a little bit more palatable to the Patriots. So, okay, if the price comes down, you know, it's not such a gamble to bring him in.
I just don't get balking at the price. Here's what Burt Breer wrote that you're referencing here, Mego. He said, the ask had been a second-round pick and another asset. Based on indications I've gotten, that sort of return simply is not coming. I don't think he'll bring back more than Brandon Cooks did from the Texans. Houston got a 2023 fifth-rounder and a 2024 sixth-rounder for him from the Cowboys. But it'll probably be closer to that than what Arizona is looking for. So a fifth and a sixth, that's nothing.
Doesn't that seem like the perfect Bill Belichick trade to get a talent like that?
Yeah, we were talking.
Like Moss for a fourth, like that's the same thing.
I asked this about Cooks earlier in the week. I'm like, I don't even like Cooks, and I think I'd do that.
Yeah, that was a steal.
Hopkins is a no-brainer. Like, if you're getting Hopkins for a fifth and a sixth, no-brainer. Breer says, I can't find anyone in the building who thinks DeAndre Hopkins will be a consideration for Bill Belichick. And at this point, New England hasn't been in it. The Denver receivers, to me, would be more likely, but the prices on those guys are high right now. I think we saw an indication of that yesterday with the Browns moving off of Jerry Jeudy and trading for Elijah Moore, if that's indeed what's going on. That's my read on the situation. The Browns said, we're not waiting for Jerry Jeudy. We'll go get Elijah Moore. But the price is dropping on DeAndre Hopkins. Arcand, I know your point is they better be in if the price is that low.
Yeah, if they're not in on him for a fifth and a sixth, they're not in at all. And I'm starting to wonder. I mean, these reports about him not practicing, the O'Brien thing, he may not be a good fit here as good as he is. I mean, that's just, that's the long and short of it. There's receivers they've brought in here at this point in their careers, and they just didn't work out. That's happened in New England plenty of times. Now, a lot of those times, the guys were just about to be done with their careers, and they were taking a flyer at the end, or it was Chad Ochocinco or something like that. But it wouldn't be the first time, it wouldn't be the fifth time that, you know, you take a flyer on a talented guy in his 30s who's banged up all the time.
So what?
And it just completely bottoms out.
So then you don't take talented players anymore?
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
We're just not bringing in talented players. That's the take.
Talented players who don't practice?
Yeah, that would make me nervous. But that's why you're getting him for a fifth or sixth round pick. That's nothing. That's zero.
You got
that's,
Moss for a fourth and he went to practice.
That's less than zero. I don't think Moss practiced all the time. Maybe that's one thing we can ask Curran. Refresh my memory on that. I don't think Moss always practiced. Aaron Wilson.
I did just say that. I don't know either.
Aaron Wilson.
Very Steve Belichick.
It was.
Aaron Wilson used to cover the Texans, right? Am I wrong about that? I think Aaron Wilson used to cover the Texans. You're saying yes back there, Ryan?
Yes.
So I would definitely trust this. Not that I would not trust Burt or not trust Pac-Man Jones, who I know has been saying
Here's
that it starts with Buffalo.
Trust.
But he covered Hopkins in Houston, I think. Cardinals DeAndre Hopkins trade market is headlined by the Bills, per NFL sources. Five-time Pro Bowl selection has plenty of interest on the trade market, but financial expectations might impact any further interest from the Chiefs and Ravens. Any further interest from the Chiefs. The Ravens are not among the bidders.
Aaron Wilson still does cover the Texans.
Oh, he does. Okay, so maybe that's
different outlet. He used to work for the Houston Chronicle.
I got it. Thank you. So I don't know if he overlapped with Hopkins in Houston, but that's a source worth following. Pac-Man Jones said it starts with the Bills, not me, Mego.
I'm very plugged in, very tapped in.
But
I also watch the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, you
so
do?
It's not just you. Okay?
I only watch it. I cut off my sleeves and I just stand up, and that's
sorry.
That's
I just say I watch.
Ah, Pac-Man, who's in on Hopkins here today, huh?
I watch it also.
That's how I watch it. Yeah. But when it comes to, and I know Curran is a friend of that program. I don't know if he's when he goes on, does he have to wear a cutoff shirt? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But when
I mean, if you want to be respectful.
That's a choice he makes.
That's true. It's like the opposite of a black tie. It's like, you know, the opposite of wearing a tux.
This is a black tank top event.
Exactly. But I know Pac-Man Jones said it's the Bills, but the Patriots are on the list. So we'll continue to follow it. And we'll ask this to Tom in just a matter of moments. In the meantime, speaking of Toms, how about Tom in Illinois? Go ahead, Tom.
Tom. Oh, hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Tom.
You know, I noticed that the biggest problem that the New England Patriots have had over the years is that franchise has been so good that every time they win a championship or a title, players go elsewhere because they want big money and they're not willing to pay them. And now, if you think about it, a few years ago, we were like the number one defense in the league. We didn't have crap for offense. And now, all of a sudden, since then, we've been losing top-notch defensive players year after year after year.
Well, not this year, right? They kept pretty much, outside of McCourty, they kept pretty much everybody on
defense.
But
he retired. He didn't leave for more money.
I don't even think he's right that everybody wanted more money. Brady didn't want money.
Yeah. Guys took less money to stay here and win, too. That happened a lot.
Brady wanted money. Well, I think that's kind of going to what he's saying, right? The Patriots aren't willing to go past a certain number for certain players. But, like, Brady just wanted market value. Brady wasn't trying to go shatter the bank anywhere else.
I mean, I guess if you wanted to go down that road of what the caller was saying, you could look at corners like Steph Gilmore, who you paid to get here.
J.C. Jackson.
And then J.C. Jackson. But, I mean, you just re-up John Jones.
I mean, look, my fear is that they're not paying guys. I just wouldn't connect it to, like, they were winning and all these other things. Like, right. I wouldn't connect it back to that. Are they paying guys? I mean, no, not really. They're not. They're choosing to, and this is where, and we talked about this with Tom last week when he was on, last Friday, actually, when we were at BetMGM in Springfield. Like, I think it goes to, Kraft gives him a budget, and then Bill likes to spread it out. And I think we're seeing some of that play out this offseason. But speaking of Tom Curran, he's joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates.
Tom.
The hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. By Awaken 180 Weight Loss, you can become your own success story by dropping the weight holding you back. It starts with just one call to Awaken 180 and by Unified Office, where they help business maximize every incoming call at unifiedoffice.com. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tom?
Jose, what are you doing? How are you?
Well, I'm encouraged. Well, I'm encouraged and discouraged by some of the reporting going on by Hopkins, but I like that... I like that you're on the Hopkins bandwagon now. I like this.
I am. And I had a good podcast today with my friend Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, who I think he's a local guy. He's from Reading. He does an extreme amount of work. And he just I do have Stockholm Syndrome from the Patriots in 20 years of being told that it's the sum of the parts. It's not the individual pieces. And I didn't realize or give enough credit to the fact that they paid the individual piece, who was probably half again as good as even the best player in the league, like he was about the 20th best player in the league. So they could do all that stuff and still have the benefit of Brady. So talking to Steve today, he's like, look, it's all these average quarterbacks from 10 to 23 are interchangeable. So the only way you can make a difference for these interchangeable parts is to surround them. I kind of knew that, but I'd be resistant. So why, how are you going to fit him under the cap? And what if he doesn't practice? Whatever. Go get him. So there.
I like it.
Tom, I know we're going to have more questions about Hopkins, but I want to ask you about this tweet from Albert Breer that came out before our show today, sure, in which he said Joe Judge will be an assistant head coach with the Patriots in 2023 with personnel elements, some parallels to Matt Patricia's 21 role. That piqued my interest because I'm thinking, if that's his title, what does that mean for Gerard Mayo's role in the organization and whatever title we might see them attach to him?
I don't think Gerard Mayo is going to get a title, and I don't think Gerard Mayo really cares whether or not he has a title. I think that when he agreed, and he has agreed, to stay, he would feel comfortable with the layout here in New England and his role going forward. Separately with Joe Judge, I think my smoking gun takeaway as to what happened last year and what will happen this year is they got him the hell away from the offense. So whether it's he can't work with Mac or Bill O'Brien doesn't need the assistance, how about you go over to special teams and we'll get you some contracts to sign and call people on. And if you still have coaching aspirations, you'll be able to put assistant head coach New England Patriots 2023 on your resume. To me, it is an honorific. And don't hold your breath on Gerard Mayo getting a title, is my feeling. One interesting aspect of that is, think about it, whatever title he got could conceivably limit his mobility if he was named, for instance, defensive coordinator. Didn't like the way things went, which I don't think is going to be the case. Didn't like the way things went. Somebody like Cleveland came around again and said, you want to be our defensive coordinator? Couldn't leave. So I think not having a title increases mobility. And that said, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, so I was just going to ask, so is he looking to go anywhere? And furthermore, and this is what I was going to ask you about before you just slipped that in there at the end, is it fair to characterize, and I know it's been characterized elsewhere, that Gerard Mayo is the coach in waiting? Is that a fair way to characterize it?
I think he is the heir apparent, stress apparent, because what could happen that would change it? I mean, does Bill win two Super Bowls and says, geez, I don't feel like going anywhere? Well, then apparently things have changed. But I think that it's apparent as well that the ownership did not want Gerard Mayo to go anywhere. And if anybody would feel as if he is having the team passed on to someone who would honor him because of who he is, it would be Gerard Mayo. I mean, it could be Steve Belichick. Steve never played for Bill. Steve was never drafted by Bill. Steve never was an All-Pro or Defensive Rookie of the Year under Bill, or courted and brought back. So I think that, you know, professionally, the step to Gerard would make even more sense than a familial one in terms of Bill and his lineage.
Tom, back to DeAndre Hopkins for a second. You kind of just hand-waved away the whole he doesn't go to practice stuff. And when I heard that, that really raised my eyebrows. Am I overreacting? Is that more common? Have there been Patriots players in the past who were brought in like this and just didn't practice?
No, I mean, I hand-waved it away because at some point, depending upon where you are on the food chain in the NFL, you might have to say, well, okay, he doesn't practice. They're in a different spot in the food chain. For instance, Randy Moss did not like to practice. Go back to 2001. Roman Pfeiffer didn't have to show up until Wednesday. Now, he had a different situation with family on the West Coast, and you were never going to worry about how he was going to assimilate into the team. But I think what's interesting about how do you look at DeAndre Hopkins and Randy Moss, who aren't identical but similar, well, Tom Brady was able to look at Randy Moss or Teddy Bruschi or Mike Vrabel or Willie McGinnis and say, what do you mean you're not practicing? Will they be able to do that? And that was expressed to me last week by Devin McCourty when he and I were discussing, you know, the wide receiver room. He said, Jacoby Myers was everything you want in a receiver. They're early, they're late, does all the film, he's at practice every day. Who in that receiver room is the guy you're going to look to be that now? Because they're not all homegrown and don't all have that same Patriots lineage that exists. So I think it's worth wondering about, but are they at a position, Christian, where talent trumps, you know, for lack of a better word, it's not accurate, talent trumps diligence in hewing the line to Patriots culture.
That's true, but even in the past when Brady was here, sometimes they took chances on older receivers, and a lot of times they were older and more banged up than Hopkins, but it didn't even work out with Brady sometimes. How's it going to work out if he's not practicing with a third-year guy like Mac Jones? That seems like a tough fit, doesn't it?
No, I mean, it doesn't. To me, with Brady, it didn't matter. He could interchange, and they just didn't do that. There weren't that many receivers who came in and said, I'm not practicing. There weren't. I just don't think it existed. When Gronk finally said, you know, I need days off, he was pretty well established with Brady. I just think that if you want the talent and he is quirky, you might have to swallow hard and do it. He's totally different, I think, and that's what I've come to realize, too. Just you get a guy who's still prorated, could have had 120 catch, 1,600-yard season last year.
Yeah, don't listen to Arcan. He just hates talented players. Don't listen to him.
Can't stand
it. I've been there, too. I hate fun.
Tom, we know that about you. Tom, you referenced at the very beginning of our conversation here how you had Stockholm syndrome about the way that the Patriots had done things for 20 years when Tom Brady is here. Okay, so maybe your eyes are being opened at this point. Do you get the sense that that's how Bill Belichick and the rest of the front office is approaching at least building out the offense now?
Yeah, I think they cut their losses on Jonnu Smith, who was an extravagant buy with projections that didn't realize their potential. I said, screw it. Let's just go get Gesicki. Now, is that the second coming of Tony Gonzalez? No, but you were at least proactive. You said, okay, we can't run after the catch with Jacoby as good as he is. Let's go get somebody else to do it. Yes, there is the caveat. You're spending less on him than you would on Jacoby Myers. To me, and I continue to circle back to it, you don't take a car to the garage with a bad battery and everything else seemingly in working order and start fixing those things. You fix the battery. The Patriots fixed the battery. They got the offensive coordinator. They've gone from no coaching on offense or negative coaching impacts to what should be a positive coaching impact. And now you get to see, okay, are these guys that we collected and paid good money on already really as useless as they appeared last year, or was it tied to the fact that they were aimless?
Well, so I'm curious about that too.
Defending them too much.
No.
I'm just thinking about the times that I've taken my car in for one thing, and every time the guy looks at me and he's like, "Your thingamajig over here is falling off, and it's going to cost $800."
My car just got backed into the other day, so I have trouble focusing on the car analogy there. But so when it comes to Belichick, I'm a fan of the Patriots Talk podcast. You and Phil do excellent work. Congratulations to Phil on the third child, by the way.
Thank you. I'll pass it on.
As Arcan said, it's a bit of a humble brag, though. Like, we get it already. Like, okay, you know, it's
your
like,
wife's still attracted to you.
Yeah, oh, cool. Three kids. Awesome. Wow, good for you. Awesome. Wow, we're all really jealous. But when it comes to Bill Belichick, I've heard you note multiple times, hint at, like, the area of where he's paid, north of 20, maybe 25, 30 million a year. Do we have any idea how much longer his contract runs for? Because as we're thinking about Gerard Mayo as the heir apparent, I'm just, or even Steve Belichick, as you brought up, as the heir apparent, like, how much longer do we feel like he's here for? And how much longer does his contract run for?
I can't answer that with any authority. I can only read the tea leaves, and I can only read what the calendar says. I mean, he's going to be 73. He's within 18 wins of Shula. I do think that's important to him.
I do think that since 2019, if it goes to 2024, it will be 5 years. And in 2 years, it'll be 5 years post-Brady. We'll see what the record is. We'll see how many times they went to the playoffs. Bill will be, at that point, 74. And he can move upstairs and be a consultant, a Parcells godfather type position. I would, if I was putting odds, I would say Bill is going to coach until the end of 2024.
Okay. He's Tom Curran. Excellent work.
What do you think? What do you think?
I mean, I would already moved on personally. So I would have tried to trade him for a first round pick or something like that. That's me personally. But how much longer do I think he wants to do it for? However long until he passes Shula. So he might need more than those 2 years, but I don't know if it's going to be his call. I don't know if he's going to get it.
Well, if it takes more than 2 years, I mean, that's the interesting thing. If it takes more than 2 years, that means he hasn't got 19 wins in 2 years. If right. he hasn't got 19 wins in 2 years, he might miss playoffs two times. And do you want to see the guy dangling out there at 331 and Shula's at 333, whatever the hell is it? Now he has to go someplace else? Oh, it's tangled web we weave.
It is. You know what? I was just going to say the same. You took the words right out of my mouth. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We talk to him every week here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
All right. Tom Curran, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Tom's going to join us on Friday next week because Correct. We have the Red Sox. Well, unless they get rained out or something. I mean, weather has impacted early season
literally
baseball games.
Every opening day since I've started working.
But I think right now Tom is tentatively scheduled for Friday next week. So I have to make some calendar adjustments for that. That's a long tease, as we call that in the business. 617-779-7937. Lots of good stuff there from Tom Curran on Hopkins, on Joe Judge and Gerard Mayo, on Bill Belichick. Some interesting stuff there. We'll circle back to all of it. And we have our triple play next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! For a triple play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best. Triples is best.
Well, before we get to our triple play here on Jones and Mego with Arcan, you know that NCAA hoops are going on. And if your bracket is busted, but you still want to be in on the action, you can follow WEEI in the Odyssey app to unlock 2 months of free betting insights from BetQL. Not one, 2 months for free. Get expert betting trends, modeled best bets, public money line movement, and much, much more. All you got to do, download the Odyssey app, create an account, and follow WEEI to unlock your 2 month free trial because of BetQL.
Okay. With that being said, it's time for the triple play, and today it's Report Card Thursday, where we're giving out some grades. So let's get to our first report card.
Number one.
All right, let's give a grade to the Patriots offseason so far. I'm seeing a lot of people doing this before the draft. What would you grade the Patriots offseason so far, Jones?
C. Like, it's just so schmeh. So schmeh. They're a little bit better. I can't knock them much more. Maybe Mego will. Maybe I'm losing my fastball. Maybe Tom is so positive he's actually influencing me a little bit. But I go straight C. It's not horrible, you know, not signing a replacement for Myers and not bringing in a replacement for Jonnu Smith and leaving it all up to the draft. And I guess a replacement for Jonnu Smith sounds funny because how could you not replace that production? But I think they at least brought in some guys who can replicate what they did last year. They're a little tiny bit better. Hopkins would bring it up into like a B+ for me. You know, Jerry Jeudy would bring it up to like a B for me. But until they do a move like that or something of that ilk, I say C.
I'm not far off from you. I gave him a B-. So I'm slightly higher, mostly on the Bill O'Brien hiring. I feel like B- illustrates they're slightly better at everything. And then they basically brought back most of their defense. But yep. There hasn't been the big splash that we have craved here on radio. There hasn't been any addition.
Even Tom is craving it now.
There hasn't been any addition that we've seen, at least on the field, where the opposing team is looking at it going, we got a game plan for this guy. Like, we got to scheme something up differently to take on this guy. And so I can't give a bit higher than a B-. Like, it's fine, but you're not top of the class.
No. Again, it's as average as you get. You upgraded maybe slightly from last year. Maybe I should give it a C+ in retrospect, but I think it's right down the middle. It's fine, but it's not good. Good would be a B, great would be an A, and it's neither of those things.
Okay, let's get to our second grade.
Number two.
You may have seen this. Gisele Bündchen just gave another interview, so let's give a grade, excuse me, to Gisele Bündchen's post-divorce media blitz. Megan.
So I have say this with a caveat that I haven't been following it super closely.
Well, I'll just give you a little taste here.
She said that Brady had no
offensive line. She said that the idea that she gave him an ultimatum was ridiculous and that they just grew apart. It wasn't any one thing that happened.
So overall, I give her an A+. I think she's been very classy about the whole thing. I know some people don't like her stepping out with the jiu-jitsu instructor seemingly like pretty quickly and pretty often and getting paparazzi'd for that. I say whatever. They're both grown adults. She seems to have carried herself with a lot of grace publicly in these comments. She doesn't say anything disparaging about him. Classy. A+.
I was kind of expecting more, to be honest. Like, I was expecting
some claws.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's above it.
So, right.
I mean, they've children together.
But maybe we're grading this differently. Like, I grade that a D. I want the real stuff, Gisele. Like, I feel like all of this is so benign and surface level. And, like, the only interesting answer I've really found, and Arkan, you've attached on more to the offensive line criticism in Tampa than maybe I have. But, like, the only one I found halfway interesting in what I read, and I didn't read the full thing, just a few aggregated stories here and there. The only thing I found interesting was just the idea that she gave an ultimatum to retire. Now, maybe now we're quibbling with the word.
She denied that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I fully believe it. I want the real story. I want the real dirt. I want the claws out, and that's why I give her a D. I didn't find any of this very interesting.
Have you seen the Netflix show Ultimatum?
No.
Does that surprise you?
No, I have not.
You have to watch it.
Is it really
great.
Is it a reality TV show?
So here's what happens. They put, like, I don't know how many
I think
many
you mentioned
couples,
that when we talked to Kike Hernandez, I think it's
five or six couples or something. They enter them into this reality show, but they actually live in the same city together. So I don't remember. It's like Chicago or something.
Yep.
And all of these couples, one person has an ultimatum of they want to get married, or like they want to get married, they want to move in together, whatever, mm-hmm. or they're done. So what they do is they scramble the couples, and the couples end up living with other people.
Yep.
And then at the end of this experiment of them living together for 8 weeks, they can decide if they want to go back to their original person or not.
Ooh.
It's very spicy.
That's pretty good. How many go back?
Not many.
I can't imagine many. That would be, that's interesting. To be on
there's a dating show like that.
That's what this is. It's a dating show.
Yeah, but there was a show that was like this before where a guy would go on who had like a girlfriend
like
and he'd date somebody else. No, and then at the end,
yes,
they'd have to say like thumbs up or thumbs down. You know what I'm talking about?
Like 90 Day Fiancé.
I know. It was way before. It was in like the cheesy days of these dating shows.
I think it was Wife Swap.
It wasn't Wife Swap.
Still living those days.
Mm-mm.
Super cheese.
I'll find it.
90 Day Fiancé, good though. Okay, what's our last question?
Number three.
All right, our third one here is grade your interest in the newest season of Ted Lasso. Episode 2 just came out last night. Jones, you got an interest in Ted Lasso?
No, F.
F?
how much everybody likes that show makes me never want to watch it. Everybody's, it's such perfect television. I have zero interest in ever watching 1 second of that show, F.
My interest is about I would put it with the Patriots offseason. It's a B-. Like, I double screen it, so I play a game on my phone or something and read Twitter while it's on.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a nice feel-good show, whatever. I really don't care because Succession is coming back this weekend.
That's not for me.
And when Succession is back, I'm not going to care about anything else. So
feel-good show, not for me.
Yeah,
That's just not going to be something that lands with me.
I tried to watch Ted Lasso, and in the first episode, they're on a plane flying to England, and Ted Lasso leans over the seat and says to the assistant coach, "Hey, if we fall asleep and we see each other in our dreams, let's pretend like we don't know each other." And I was like, I'm not going to like this. Like, I shut it off right there. I'm like, show's not for me.
That sounds terrible.
I'm not watching this.
Like, that just sounds terrible.
There's
so many idiots on this planet, and they all like that show, and just, I can't.
How I feel about The Office.
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
Office
is
better than Ted Lasso.
You know what?
Office is
I respect this take. I don't like The Office as much as many people.
It's not even that I don't like The Office that much. I hate everybody who makes The Office their personality.
See, that I hate,
I too. Almost dropped an F-bomb. So annoying. Because that's how strongly I feel about it. Oh, that's what she said. Shut up.
But I can still communicate using "It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia" quotes and references.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
I do enjoy okay.
The show I was thinking of, by the way,
yeah,
Change
that
of Heart.
Funny.
Okay. Remember Change of Heart?
That one I don't.
So it's like a couple, and then
a
single
lot of
person
reality.
Dates one of the persons in the couple, and then they decided they want to stay with the girlfriend or not.
No, it sounds
a great.
Great
show.
I watch a lot of trash reality. That one
you
gotta eludes
check
me.
Out some of these.
The Ultimatum.
Oh, have you checked out Love is Blind?
I saw the first season of Love is Blind. I've not seen anything since.
Is similar to Love is Blind.
I'm pretty sure we talked about this with Kike Hernandez.
So we definitely
really
did.
Good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about all this.
I think you asked him if he had seen Ultimatum. He has not, yes. But he definitely wants to
yeah.
now.
And I asked him if he was listening to the show, and he laughed in my face.
Well, we have an opening.
But definitely
opening.
Wants to.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be
that
our
is
thing.
True. There is a vacancy.
The
that
Kike
is true.
Hernandez reality show minute.
So that's our triple play. We can get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. And we can get to the Boston Bruins. You know who hates the Bruins, Mego? You know who hates them?
Not me.
I'm on the bandwagon. March 2nd, I declared they're winning the cup. On March 2nd, I declared they're winning the cup. So not me either. No, you know who hates them? Apparently the rest of the league. Apparently their peers don't believe in the Bruins. Let's get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.